Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we've got a really special show and a series of special shows all this week because we're coming to you from the French Lick Resort. We talk about it all the time here on the show, but the French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana, they are hosting the French Lick Resort Charity Classic, which is part of the Epson Tour. Epson Tour would be the women's equivalent of the Korn Ferry Tour, and all these young ladies will be playing in the next couple of days, trying to not only win money, but points, and eventually get to the LPGA Tour. That's the goal. So that's why we're here. And of course, French Lick Resort has been our friend and sponsor here on Golf Talk America for several years. Joining us in just a little bit will be Brendan Sweeney. He's the Director of Media Relations and Player Development. He's been on our show a number of times here at the French Lick Resort, but he'll be joining us very shortly. Also, we have our good friend, Fred Cowgill. We've talked to Fred a number of times. Last time would have been, I believe, prior to the Kentucky Derby. He is a sports anchor at WLKY in Louisville, Kentucky, and knows an awful lot about horse racing. So we've talked to him about that, but we're going to talk to Fred today about a little bit of golf as well and his opinions on some hot subjects that we're going to dive into. And as always, Frank Bassett, who normally is in Nashville. Well, I'm in Dallas doing this show, but now we're all here together, one big happy family at this really cool resort. And you'll tell us a little bit about the building that we're in right now, but how you doing?
I'm doing good. Good. It's good to see your face.
Yeah.
Just across from each other for a change. Yeah. That's pretty good.
A lot of people tell me that.
We had a good time last night. We went out and, does that mic sound good? We went out last night and had a good dinner over at Brick 33 in downtown French Lick, the Megropolis of French Lick.
Yeah, wow.
Two square blocks, which is just a cool little town. It's just neat. But we had a great time, and it's good to, you know, we're getting the band back together, so to speak, so it's good to all be here.
It's kind of known as, more than anything, as the home of Larry Bird. Larry Bird not come from French Lick, it would still be way out left field, like, where the heck is that? But because of Bird and his notoriety over the last 40 years, a lot of people at least have heard of French Lick. But it's located in southern Indiana.
Heard of the Bird?
It's actually
as
Brendan likes to tell us, located in the Hoosier National Forest.
So deep in the heart of the Hoosier National Forest.
Just to paint the picture for you, if you haven't been to southern Indiana, it's actually quite hilly, rolling hills and tall trees. It's not at all the cornfields that you might think or that I grew up in Illinois and Iowa and Kansas. A lot of people kind of think that's all one big cornfield. But down here, very, very pretty terrain. And where we're at now is at the base, if you will, of near the pro shop and in the home base of the Pete Dye course here at the French Lick Resort. And then there's also a Donald Ross course, which we'll be playing at later today, and that's a few miles away in a different location, but pretty close to
3 miles.
Yeah.
Basically.
And what's the story with this
house
here? Okay,
well, this is the Taggart Mansion.
Yeah.
And this is the second highest point in the state of Indiana. We're looking down literally, we're above the water towers and everything of the city of French Lick, so we're looking down. In the mornings here, if the weather's just right, you have cloud. The cloud layer is really below the golf course, so you're playing the fairway with clouds below you, which is just absolutely beautiful. But the story of this mansion, and we're in the sunroom upstairs overlooking the golf course. We have a great view of the entire golf course from up here in the sunroom. But Taggart was a very, very wealthy man. He built this house for his son, this mansion. And it,
like in the 20s, 100 years ago, something
like
that?
Yeah, Brendan can fill us in on all that.
No, I want you to.
Well, I don't remember.
God,
I've only been here for, you know, 10 years.
18 times.
I know. 18 a year, yeah. But no, it one
it's
of the
an
neat
old red
things.
Mansion on a hill. Just picture that, if you
big
will.
Big red mansion on a hill.
Like a movie.
But here's the deal. Franklin Delano Roosevelt announced his candidacy for president of the United States in this very mansion, in the sunroom.
In like 20s.
Whatever year
somewhere.
That was.
Yeah.
Before the Depression.
Yeah. So
something like that.
That's where we're at. And it's a very cool.
It's
must
neat.
Have been a,
it's beautiful.
Must have been a massive house back then. It's still big.
Well, it, no, it's.
But by today's
this
standards,
is, this is huge.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really cool old house that they have. And part of the house, which I guess that would that be where they kept their, if they had automobiles or their carriages, the carriage house and whatnot, is right there.
So carriage house.
The pro shops. Now the pro shop and had horses and whatnot down there. Now it's the pro shop. And it sits up high. And look, I mean, it's everything here is scenic. I mean, it's just
it
really, really. So if we're selling it to you, hopefully you listen.
Lots of money.
You'll come here and play because it's a great place to get away. Easy enough to get to from Louisville. I flew into Evansville.
Evansville's perfect.
Even from Chicago, you could drive a few hours and get here. So, I mean, it's centrally located.
3.5 from Nashville.
And French Lick has strange as it may seem, even prior to Bird, has a pretty good history of the trains that would all come through here on the way to
mobsters.
Chicago and Louisville and Indianapolis and whatnot, that you could come through French Lick and the trains.
It's
and
very,
that's kind of what made it what it is.
Yeah, it's very historic. The French Lick Resort itself, the hotel, and then the West Baden Springs Hotel, which is was the largest domed building in the world before the Astrodome was built.
Well, in the United States.
In the world. I think it was the world, yeah.
Really?
I don't know.
You
well, here's what we should do. Bring in our guest, Fred Cowgill. He's shaking his head over here. Let's bring him in. Fred, WLKY
gentlemen.
Sports.
Chomping at the bit.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that, but it's wonderful to be here.
The man who showed me around at the Kentucky Derby, helped me get credentialed for the Kentucky Derby, and took me all over the place at the Derby. We had a blast.
It was a lot of fun. You were right in your element, Frank.
there's a lot of money there. Yes. Way more than all of us have put together.
Well,
it was beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot just to be there for that day. I mean, just the you got to write a big check just to have a couple tickets.
And you've been to how many derbies?
36.
Yeah. You've been to one?
Two.
Two.
And this was my second one. I went to the Oaks and the Derby many, many, many years ago, but this was actually my second one. But I did not have the access that I had at this Derby. This was incredible.
Yeah.
It's normally very sectioned off. I mean, you know, you have like Millionaire's Row, and there's a place called the Mansion, which is up on basically on the roof. It used to be the press box, which is about $25,000 a ticket. So there are different portions of it, and normally you can't navigate from one to any of the others, especially after COVID. You're pushed into a certain section. We have the luxury of being the media that they give us some latitude in that area. And having been there for a day or two, and a year or two, they've given me still access to places that a lot of people don't get anymore. So it was fun.
Kind of like we were in the winner's circle with the horses right next to us. And Fred said, hey, Frank, I don't know how much you know about horses, but if he turns around with his rear end to you, get out of the way because they'll kick you.
Yeah, yeah.
And
which will hurt.
But we were right there on the track, standing on the track as they come by in the Derby to win.
You said that, and it seemed a little bit of an exaggeration. Why are you allowed to be on the actual dirt track? While the race is still going on. It's like being on a court during the finals of the NBA. Near the end of the game, you get to go in the court.
No,
not on the court, but on the edge of it. I mean, frankly, no.
But you're on the track.
We were standing on the dirt.
But there's a rail, is there not, on
yes.
both sides of the track?
Yes.
Why do you need to be on the other side of the rail?
Because we can.
Because, because they let us.
I know a horse, I mean, you're still 20 yards, 25 yards from the horse.
Something like that.
And I guess a horse would never veer off. It just seems...
They do, from
it
time
just
to
seems
time.
Like that would be a logistic nightmare if some attorney's going to go, no, wait a minute, what if one of those horses wanders over here and kicks Frank in the head, and Frank's family is going to sue? Why are you on the track?
Well, we sign waivers. I mean, you know, when you get a press credential, you sign a lot of waivers. And you have to prove insurance. I mean, there are protocols that we go through for that we don't go through for a lot
it
of other events.
It just seems weird. That's all. I'm not going to
belabor
the point.
Well, we have inside the ropes at PGA Tour events. Our media credentials get us everywhere at PGA Tour events.
You get hit by a golf ball.
But it doesn't – you can't anywhere. But this involves like 1,500-pound beasts.
True.
Could
they're
run
not
and
beasts.
Run you over.
About 1,000 pounds. But, yes.
Like,
but they're gorgeous animals. They're not beasts.
Nuts to me, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's, you know, to your point. So, they're the fastest animals of their kind on Earth, other than, you know, jaguars and a few others. But in terms of their generic species, I mean, they are.
Actually,
they can go 40 miles an hour.
I think a Ferrari's faster than a jaguar.
What
up, Buff?
Didn't Jesse.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Jesse Owens race one time?
I'm sorry?
Didn't Jesse Owens race a horse? One time?
I think so. I don't
know. Did like
what
a 100-yard race against a horse, I think, from a standing start.
Right, that's right.
To see if he could be faster than, and I think he was pretty competitive for 100 yards.
Right, I was going to say in a short.
Until the
distance,
horse ran over him,
until the horse started
horses
to run.
Horses can peak at about 40 miles an hour after about a quarter mile.
Yeah.
And then they generally drift a little bit lower.
Yeah.
There are some exceptions to that. I mean, Terry was amazing.
Fred does and has done for years and years an annual charity golf tournament. And several years ago, we played in it, and there was an auction after the tournament, or before, it was the night before. And some alcohol was consumed, and we had a lot of fun, but they were auctioning off, Tim, really cool stuff. Well, I got into a bidding war with this guy, and his wife were there, for Justified's bridle, the actual bridle of Justified.
Which goes over the horse's head.
Okay.
Yeah. And has the plate on the side of it, the brass plate that has the name Justified, and wore it in the Derby, wore the horse.
That's how you control the horse.
Yeah. And we got up to a big number, and I thought, man, I'm going to have to back off. Well, This story leads to this year's Kentucky, the past Kentucky Derby, where the fellow who beat me out for that bridle and his wife are good friends with Fred. They came up and talked to us, and I brought it up or whatever, and she said, thank you so much for stopping, because he was not going to quit. He was going to keep going. And Fred looked at me and said, why didn't you bid him up more? But it was still a big number for that bridle.
It was a big number. Yeah. Well, I mean, there were only 13 Triple Crown winners, so yeah. It's, you know, not like – and, you know, two in a short window of time, 2015, 2018. Before that, it was 1978. So
you know what your friend did to me, don't you?
I'm afraid to ask.
He sent me the damn picture of the bridle in his den. Yes, he did. He sent me the picture of the bridle, I was like, are you kidding me? Seriously? I was trying to find it here on my phone while you guys talk among yourselves.
Yeah, really.
Bob Baffert's been a friend for a long time.
Let's just picture a bridle. Right.
A bridal event or what?
No, I'm just saying. We can picture it. You don't have to
find
it. It's the
thing that goes over the horse's head.
No, I understand. But it's like he's determined to show us. Like we need here on
radio.
I
want you to see this.
We need to see it.
Everybody on radio needs to see this bridal.
I'm trying to make an equivalent. There, I don't think there is an equivalent, but it is.
It's like Muhammad Ali's headgear.
Something like that.
No.
You know, or something.
It's something you don't need, Frank, I think is what
we're going to get into. I need it
in my den. Muhammad Ali's boxing gloves. I mean, something. Yeah. You know, they're not apples to apples.
But it's a part of his equipment.
Right. And something that, you know, a horse, there aren't many of them around.
Yeah.
And certainly not for a Triple Crown winner.
No.
And, you know, if you go back to 1978 and realize that long gap, 34 years, whatever it was, to 2015, my math is eluding me at the moment, to American Pharoah, who is the next winner, I mean, you realize these things become priceless. They're museum items.
Yeah.
And usually you don't get access to that kind of stuff. So when you see something like that and you sort of take the leap of faith that's going to be that someday, which it will. It'll be in the National, you know, Racing Hall of Fame kind of thing. And I'm not sure that he's up for bidding on that yet, but he will be the moment. But he'll go in the moment he's eligible to go in.
Yeah. Well, I just wish I'd gotten it, to be honest. But I don't think I could have outlasted him.
I mean, incredible animal. I mean, just unbeaten Triple Crown winner. They don't come along every day.
No.
Anyway, so that's our horse racing talk.
Horse racing talk. Yeah. We are here for a golf tournament, and we'll talk a lot about that with Brendan Sweeney when he gets back from his.
We're not even get Brendan on here. Brendan's somewhere long gone. He's somewhere far away.
I can control your life.
He doesn't even need the headphones.
He's back.
We are coming to you from the French Lick Resort, and we're in a bit of a rain delay from a practice round, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We had some winds and
some lightning.
Yes.
I got to boot off a little bit. But we're supposed to play in a practice round down at the Donald Ross course. And then
at 1
tomorrow,
o'clock today.
The Pro-Am that we're all going to play in. All of us have different pros on our team.
Well, the Sweeney Cup, which is the media group,
that's
too.
The media.
That's a special
that's about
within the
of
Pro-Am.
Us or so. But within the Pro-Am, there's all the different corporate people and stuff that are going to be playing with the different ladies that are playing. Earlier today, when we were getting ready here, we ran into a former player at Ole Miss.
Yes.
Alma mater.
She, lovely young lady. And she was on the NCAA Women's National Championship team several years ago from Ole Miss.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, not that long ago.
Just three years ago, wasn't it? Two years ago.
She looks like she's about 24 years old.
They all look so young.
And Frank is part of the defending champions of the Sweeney Cup, as well as Mr.
As
Sweeney.
Mr. Sweeney. Our team won it.
Well, that would be the nine-year defending champions. How long have you been doing this? 9 years? Really?
I don't think it's
that work?
When you're good, you can't hide talent. Holy okay, boys? Smokes. You just can't hide talent.
It was fun. I was part of that team last year, and we laughed so hard.
Well, yeah, but all I know is they're recruiting still. He's like, you know, we need a putter. We need a big driver.
I know.
So he's already going around talking to the casinos, saying, hey, you look like a
strong Can you hit it long?
All we need for you is about like 12 drives. Can you hit 12 drives?
That's all we need. We don't care about the rest of your game. Just hit it straight and long.
So recruiting is becoming a big part of the Sweeney Cup that nobody else but the Sweeney team actually knows about.
True.
That you can recruit.
Not anymore, since you just said that.
Hey, look, Brendan's saying you're number one.
But apparently, that's how that works. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's take a break. We've been talking here at the French Lick Resort. Frank Bassett and Fred to talk about what's going on. And we've got the very own Brendan Sweeney here to fill us in. And we're going to talk, by the way, about the LIV Tour and what's going on. Greg Norman just had a big interview with Fox News about that, what's happening there. There's new developments constantly happening with the
Tucker
Tour.
Carlson from Fox News interviewed him last night, and that was an interesting – we'll get into that. That was – wow.
And the money keeps getting bigger. Every time there's another story that comes out about the money involved, it seems like it's a larger number. So anyway, it's got everybody's attention, including, I'm sure, the people at Ponte Vedra.
Yeah, Camp Ponte Vedra is a little upset
about what's going on there. So we're going to take a break, and we'll come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we're going to return right after this.
Are you ready to improve your golf game once and for all? A PXG club fitting will bring you greater distance, accuracy, and consistency from tee to green. At your personal club fitting, you'll meet with a PXG fitting specialist to discuss your skill level and goals while introducing you to the PXG product line. Next, your fitter will analyze your performance data with TrackMan golf simulators as you hit your own clubs, if you have them with you, and you should, and a selection of PXG clubs. PXG fitting specialists are highly trained golf equipment and fitting experts who work exclusively for PXG. Watch your performance skyrocket as you are expertly fitted for the right club heads, loft, lie, shafts, and grips to increase your distance and accuracy while lowering your score. Nothing compares with a PXG club fitting to improve your performance and level up your fun. Schedule your PXG club fitting now at pxg.com or by calling 844-PLAY-PXG. That's 844-PLAY-PXG. Folks, do it today. You'll be glad you did.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews along with Frank Bassett. And we've had Fred Cogill, who's the sports anchor at WLKY in Louisville, Kentucky. That's a CBS affiliate? Who is it? CBS affiliate in Louisville, Kentucky.
WLKY.
Been talking to him, and of course, Brendan Sweeney. Right. We heard in the distant background.
Now he's on a headset.
Now he's on a headset, and he's actually here.
He's here.
He is the director of media relations and player development here at French Lick.
Yes.
Hey, Brendan. Good to see you. Good to see you. Haven't seen you since what, dinner?
Yeah.
Haven't seen you since coffee this morning.
Coffee.
But you've been here at French Lick for how long now?
About 24 hours.
Are you talking to me?
Yes. I just introduced you. That's your name.
It started a very long time ago.
Just like 10, 15 years ago?
12.
In the galaxy far away.
2009.
12 years ago.
We launched it. We opened April 14th, 2009. I started at the end of 2008, right after Ryder Cup was at Valhalla.
And so we're here, again, just to explain, French Lick Resort Charity Classic, part of the Epsom Tour.
Yes.
The women's, if you will, equivalent of the Corn Ferry.
The largest purse on the Epson Tour.
Yeah, this is almost $350.
First place is?
About 70
no
and change.
No way. Are you serious?
Pretty sweet. Yeah.
$70,000.
Yeah. Fred wants to play.
I want to play.
I'm in. Let's
Fred's
go.
I have a kilt.
He's putting on a skirt, and he's going.
If you win this event, you're going to the LPGA Tour.
Yeah.
That's launch it.
Big stakes.
That's
a lot.
So it's an automatic qualifier for the LPGA?
No, but chances are if you win with the money wise, this will get you up to the top 10.
Yeah.
And so the top 10 from this season go next season?
Yes.
Very nice.
Very nice.
And they're going to play this year.
That is a great microphone.
Thank you.
That microphone sounds good, doesn't it?
I love Fred Cogill from WLKY.
It looks like Dick Clark. Doesn't he hold his microphone like this?
He does.
Introducing Michael
is
Jackson.
Is it New Year's Eve?
Like a legend.
The Jackson 5. Here they come.
I loved him.
Let's give it up for Andy Gibb.
So this event is going to be right here at the Pete Dye Course.
That's why it's called the Epson Tour at the Pete Dye Course, yes.
Yes, but I'm saying in the past years it's been over at the Ross Course.
Yes, and it was under...
So why the decision? Why to move it?
Well, with the new change, with the Symetra Tour going goodbye, their sponsorship ended, we wanted the challenge, make the Donald, you know, our Donald Ross Course is fabulous. It's wonderful. It's probably one of the nicest Donald Ross courses.
Well, you just had a big award for that course, did you not?
Lynx Magazine just named us, I think, number four of the top... You know,
Ross courses in
play that you can play, which is great. And in 2007, Curly and Schmidt came in under the guidance of the Donald Ross Society, and we totally gutted the golf course. So the Donald Ross course is fabulous. We're playing it today, but this is our showcase. We want to showcase these girls. We want to give them the opportunity to play championship golf at a championship golf course, which the Ross is.
Yeah.
But this is our shiny bell and whistle. This is the Pete Dye exceeded an unexceedable,
and this
unlimited budget to build this.
That old? How old is this course?
We opened April 14th, 2009.
Yeah, so it's not an old course
since
like
then,
the Ross course.
I think this is our 17th championship that we've hosted here.
Including Big Tens and things like
we've
that?
We've had the Big Ten championships, men's and women's, 12, 13, 14. So 14, the women were here as well. The Legends Championship, which became the Senior LPGA Championship. We had 7 years there. We had the Senior PGA Championship in 15. Colin Montgomery won it. Mike Small won the 2010 Club Pro Championship here. So, yeah, this is how we run. This is when we're hitting all pistons, we know what to do in championship golf.
Yeah.
We know how to put a tournament well, on. Dave Harner, his crew,
do
everybody.
A great job,
I mean, just everybody hits the ground. They're kicking ass and taking names. And,
word to the wise, though.
In meantime, you know, we make our guest experience so much better. And, you know, we're like, you know, the duck. You know, our feet are paddling, but we're all cool on top. So, yeah. And that comes directly from Dave and Rob Koontz and Lori.
Word to the wise. I was with Casey in the pro shop.
Casey Milhan, he's been here since day one, too.
And if you want to play this golf course, you need to call now, make a reservation to play because
it
is just crazy.
Oh, no. Forget it.
But the play is very quick. You have a caddy, and it's well-paced. You don't back up, but there is a groundswell of people because of people like Brendan and Fred and us doing the show, talking about this place and people experiencing it and seeing it on TV. It's hard to get. You better call today.
Better call today if you want to play in 23. You better call today if you want
absolutely.
To play in 24.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
That's true.
We're looking at events. The MAC Conference Championships we're going to host here April 24. Which is great because that if you look at the MAC conference, that's our footprint. You know, the Midwest, you know, from New York to Missouri and from, you know, Michigan down to Texas, basically. It's all drivable. And if you look at the drivable market, within a five-hour radius of French Lick, you're looking at close to 40 million people. So our golf numbers, not only our golf numbers, but, you know, we have three hotels, 802 rooms. We have 180,000 square feet of meeting space that is now coming back for, you know, from post-COVID, and our golf numbers just shot through the roof. During COVID, you know, there were no banquets. There were no weddings. There was no class reunions. And the golfers came, and they occupied, and they swelled the hotel. It was like, holy smokes, where's this coming from? So now we're balancing. So our
fabulous Lightman, casino, you know, here.
Yeah, there's the dog that wags his tail. You know, we're looking at 23 already. As if you want to play weekends, you better start calling now. Forget it. I mean, you can't make it in here Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
From now to the end of the year. So.
Well, I think there's some openings. I mean, we don't want to turn people off. Go check it and see, but call and do
forget it
because it's an experience in itself.
It is. I mean, I'm not turning. It's what August the second, first week of August, and all of a sudden it's like we're looking at 23.
Yeah,
and the course looks to be in incredible condition.
Yeah, Russ Apple, our superintendent, and he's got just a crackerjack staff of guys that just take this, you know, full passion, and they're ready to rock and roll. But you know, we're on top of the Mount Airy right now in the Pete Dye Mansion, and you could see from here, from this vantage point we're in right now. I don't know.
Two-thirds of
11,
the course.
11 holes without even squinting.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
And they're all nice because when I drove up here earlier, I drove my car out on some of the different holes.
Yes, you did. The first time you came here, you drove down the cart path.
And checked them out. And so a lot of those holes are pretty nice.
You're not right in the head.
I got right up on the greens on a few of those.
Yeah, did you?
And some donuts.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So the girls are going to have a good time out there.
It's like golf on a roller coaster. I mean, it really is.
It is.
When you play here, the changes in elevation, I tell people all the time, I could say it all I want, but you have to
experience it.
Pull in, it's an experience. You'll just say, why did I wait so long to do this?
Yeah.
That's the truth.
And I love the drive, too, right?
Coming up the mountain.
You're down at the resort or down at the town of French Lake.
We're 450 feet above the town.
And you just keep going up this hill through these woods and stuff.
You come up through the woods on a two-lane road. It's beautiful.
Which we've talked about, and I think it's a great story.
A lot of deer.
But when Pete Dye was coming here to look at it, and there was not all this cleared out, he was like, well, there's no golf course up here. What are you talking about? It's mountains, it's trees, it's all that kind of stuff. There's not going to be. And then he, if I'm not referring to the wrong story, he then rethought it and said, you know what? Maybe there is a way that we can
this. Yeah, Pete came up. We interviewed a few different architects. And Pete, you know, being a Hoosier, being, you know, from Indianapolis, he came here and he walked the properties. And he said it's a very harsh terrain.
Yeah.
And he was, at that point, 80-ish. And he came on here again, and he walked the course, and he found an old topo map.
Walked the property.
From World War II, he found, like, the topo maps that the gas companies used to lay down the gas lines. And he found the 36 highest points, and he walked those 36 highest points and had greens and tees already set out, and he went back to Indianapolis, and they called up Steve Ferguson and Dave Herner, and they met him at in Mooresville at some cafeteria up there, and Pete just started drawing. He goes, "Here's a golf course."
And, on a napkin.
Yeah, and a napkin. And Dave had it, and he whipped it in his car and was on his dashboard and whatnot. And now it's like a piece of artwork. We created an advertising campaign called Sketch on a Napkin about how Pete made the course. And it really is a handwritten on a cocktail napkin of here's the course.
It's because if you take away
– it's in a pro shop.
You still have it, really.
It's hanging in a pro shop.
If this was just sitting up here with all the trees,
it was sitting. It was sitting up here with all the trees. This building we're in is built in 1924.
Yeah, there we go. 24 is what we're talking about.
Derelict, right?
But if you put the trees back here, it would be hard to see a golf course. You'd be kind of going, "Well, where am I putting a golf course here?" Because it's nothing but
forest,
hills, and trees, and you're in the woods.
He moved 3 million cubic tons of dirt.
3 million cubic tons.
24,000 trees. Some crazy thing.
There was a logging company that came in. We had a bid out for it.
And yeah
they, gotcha. It was lumberjacks.
Used it to build houses.
But wasn't this the home in disrepair? I mean,
Jerry Foose owned the property. He lived here. It wasn't really in disrepair, but it was a private residence.
Gotcha.
For years, and then prior to that, you know, it originally was built in 1924 by Tom Taggart, who was the owner of the resort, head of the Democratic Governor's Convention, and in this building in 1931, FDR declared his candidacy to become president.
Very cool.
Right here. Could have been in this room. You never know.
Is it true Pete Dye said that I have to have the top of the hill to build a golf course? That was a big, like, sticking point for a bit? I'd heard this story. I didn't know how much merit there was to it, that Dye basically said we have to have that, and there was a big negotiation with the family.
Well, you can't really confirm it with Pete right now, but...
Yeah, point taken.
This puppy wasn't coming. Yes. Actually, you know, now with the road that comes in from the main gate coming up, the original driveway went back towards the driving range. So they rearranged
out the back, out the back,
on the back side of the property.
Behind the car barn.
Is it true that he made a big deal about getting the top of the hill?
No. Who'd you hear that from?
I want to say Mr.
What
Ferguson.
Do you mean by getting to the top of the hill?
Is it Steve Ferguson said it, and
like tear this down?
No. The property that you guys had access to originally did not include this.
This top
point.
Oh.
The mansion is a center point.
Oh.
You know, so wherever you're at on the golf course, with the exception of, I think, of the 13th hole, you could see this mansion.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
It is.
It's fabulous.
It's a special place to go to.
But I tell you what, we have a special group of young ladies that are here now with the Epson Tour, and we're getting ready to do the shoot. It's going to be broadcast this Saturday and Sunday. So if you go to golfchannel.com, if you go to lpga.com, if you go to Peacock, and a couple other international side as well. So 12 to 3
Eastern. You can stream it. You can see it.
Streaming, yeah. Nice. So Brian Hammonds, our good buddy, Brian Hammonds. We'll be there.
The
with
first Peyton, anchor Peyton. Of the Golf Channel. When they turned on the lights, he was the first man.
He's a Hoosier, and he's up in Fishers. Great
and
guy.
Now, is Brian doing the anchor himself or with a partner?
Paige McCann. Brian, this is pretty cool. Lowell Thaler from Thaler Media Productions, he has this he mastered this technology of using the cell devices to broadcast a signal. We did it last year.
Yeah.
Frank was our on course guy.
One and done.
Hey, you know what? You had a shot at the title. Not a lot of people get a shot at the title.
I had a shot at the title.
Joe Bugner.
I could have been a contender. I could have been a contender.
Yeah, you weren't.
Could have been a contender.
But Paige McKenzie will be in Arizona. They'll be in Lake Mary, Florida at a studio there. And then Holly Hunter, who does some work with Golf Channel, will be here on site. So that would be Saturday and Sunday.
So people are listening, can stream it on those different locations.
Yes, and you can see the quality of the video is fabulous, man. It's HD.
We saw it. You sent me a text the other day, and it was running on. Anyway, we got to watch it again. It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year.
It's
going
to
be. It's going to be fun.
I'm Frank Bissett.
Yeah.
I was channeling my inner Fred Cowgill.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. The crap just keeps going around the room.
It does.
And Fred's going to rip on me.
Oh, you're going to get it in a minute.
No,
yeah.
No.
Hey, we got some other things I want to talk about with you guys here, but let's take a break.
Let's take a break and then come back, because we have a roundtable discussion about something that's at the forefront of the golf world right now.
Yeah, and so, we have a tee time we got to catch.
Yeah, we got to do that too.
And we do. I need to warm up. Yeah. It's 11:30 already.
Smokes.
Holy smokes.
We've been doing this show for 3 hours.
Good Lord.
All right, you're listening to Golf Talk America.
This segment felt like 3 hours.
Jesus. And Frank, Fred, and the
ever popular Brendan Sweeney
will be joining us when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America. Don't go anywhere. We're coming back.
Is the summer heat melting your ice cubes? Stay frosty where it counts in brand new Tommy John underwear. Because when you wear Tommy John, you're that much cooler. So you can do everything better thanks to breathable, lightweight fabric with 4 times the stretch of the competing brands. Dozens of comfort innovations are in Tommy John underwear, and they keep you looking good and feeling good all season long, from lounging at home to summertime fun. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. And folks, I'm one of them. I am a Tommy John fanatics. You know, they've sold 17 million pairs. People love their Tommy John's underwear and loungewear, too. I have both, and I love the products. I have to tell you, I feel so much better wearing my Tommy John. It's so much cooler and breathable, especially right now when we're suffering, I mean suffering, through 105 to 110 degree heat index. So Tommy John doesn't just make you feel cooler. You are actually cooler. I can attest to that, folks. Plus, there's no risk. When you buy Tommy John's, you get the Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to shop TommyJohn.com/golftalk right now, and you're going to get 20% off your first order. Get 20% off right now at TommyJohn.com/golftalk. That's TommyJohn.com/golftalk. See site for details.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews along with Frank Bassett and our good friends Fred Cowgill and Brendan Sweeney. Brendan with the French Lick Resort. And Fred, of course, is a sports anchor at WLKY in Louisville, Kentucky, talking about what's going on in the world. And I've got to paint this picture. We're on the top of this
Mount Airy
mansion, if you will, or this house. We're on the second floor. We're in a corner, kind of a bedroom.
Sunroom, yeah.
Sunroom. And Frank's got all of his stuff, cords and things. It's like his little studio. And your
don't touch that.
Your Roadcaster.
I love my Roadcaster.
It's your little baby.
It was a Stratocaster with a whammy bar.
That's right.
It's a nice looking piece of equipment. What did it cost you, like 50, 60 bucks?
I stole it.
It's nice.
It's real nice. It's I have two, by the way, just in case.
We got official stuff going on here.
Yeah, so. this is a hell of a studio to travel with.
All right, so we talked about French Lick, and we will, as we come to you later this week as well, to talk about what's going on here at the French Lick Resort. But a lot of things going on in the world of golf, and of course that means on the PGA Tour, it also affects – has effect by what's going on with the LIV Tour. The PGA Tour stopped this week. It's at the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Great place.
Yes. The field is what it is. It's not overwhelmed with big names, but it's Tyler Pendrith. We learned that name last week.
Well, he played well.
Webb Simpson. We got Cameron Champ playing. We've got Will Zalatoris, Kevin Kistner.
Now,
Wake Forest,
those are
baby.
Good names. Kind of guys. And Will Zalatoris has got a lot of game.
Yeah. Hey, we were actually 2 weeks ago. Doing a college tour, we stopped by the golf office at Wake Forest, and God, what a great facility
gotta
they
be.
Have there!
Yeah, it's got to be. They got one of the best programs in the country.
Yeah, Jerry Haas, head pro there, or the the golf.
Jay Haas's brother.
Yeah.
Well, he actually won. He was the low club professional here in 2015.
Oh, nice!
At the Senior PGA Championship, presented by Kitchener.
The Haas family. They know what they're doing. Yeah. So last night there was an interview with Tucker Carlson.
There
and
was
Greg Norman on
yes.
Fox.
Yes.
And give us a little bit of your take on what happened.
I watched the replay this morning of it. And,
because that's the only thing you watch.
Fox News? I watch Fox Business more than anything now. Uh-huh. I'm depressed. Well, Greg Norman handled it, I think, very professionally. He handled it like a businessman. And he had some points to make in regard to the PGA Tour, as he did before. Yep. But he threw some valid points out there. And
Such as?
I don't know the exact number.
Did they tackle all the tough stuff, like the dirty money question, all that?
Yeah, they did. And, you know, but let's be real about this. The largest
sponsor
on the LPGA Tour is Aramco.
Which is?
That's an Arabian oil company.
Right. Okay.
The DP World Tour they talked about, DP is a United Arab Emirates corporation, okay? And then Norman had this little tidbit to throw in. He said, let me say this. 23 of the major tournament sponsors on the PGA Tour spend over $50 billion a year.
Get
$50 billion a year in business, from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. He said so, and Norman just held his hand out like this, held it up, as I'm air quotes, and said, so what does the PGA Tour need to do? They need to tell them they don't want their money?
Yeah.
And to go away, don't sponsor our tournaments?
He's trying to point out the hypocrisy.
Right.
Yeah, and he said, why are we picking on the guys? Why are we picking on the boys? Because all of these other companies, and Uber, if you get an Uber, that's where that money comes from.
Now,
Boeing aircraft is basically owned by the Saudi Arabian Kingdom.
For the first weekend in May.
Yeah.
You can go to Churchill Downs, you got the same thing.
Well, same thing.
How many Arabian horses run there?
Everybody's in it because we're buying gas. And gas, at some point, some of that oil came from
Saudi Arabia.
So Norman's point was, while the PGA Tour is trying to paint a dark picture of who we are and what we're all about, he was saying, we're really not. And it's a world economy, and it's hard to say any part of this world isn't touched by other parts of the world. So don't sit there, glass house.
Right? How many times did Tiger go play in the Kingdom on an exemption?
Like right out of the gate of the PGA Tour.
Out of the blessing.
Remember he'd do that, and we'd all sit there going, where's Tiger this week? And they go, oh, he got $2 million guaranteed to go play in Saudi Arabia, Dubai, wherever it was. And we all kind of just accept and go, oh, well, Tiger gets to do that, which to me now is kind of what these guys are doing. Tiger complained about the recently when they're talking about Mickelson and everything that's going on at the LIV Tour. And he said, you know what, where's the motivation? If they're going to get guaranteed money, and I find this to be really interesting coming from a professional athlete. They're going to get guaranteed money, meaning the LIV Tour guys. Where's the motivation for them to practice, to go in the dirt and do this? And I'm thinking, there's no other sport that doesn't have guaranteed money.
Right.
And don't they work hard? Don't the guys in the NBA and the NFL?
Well, that's what we talked about on the last show, Tim. As I said, if you don't work hard, you're not going to be there long.
Yes.
You'll be gone.
Well, there's still more money. I mean, that's the thing.
Yes.
So,
you can win more money. I mean, it seems a little weird to me that a professional athlete like Tiger, because a lot of what the tour is, from what I gather, from Mickelson and these other guys, is like, why aren't we more like these other sports?
Right.
Why do we have to pay out of our own pocket to go play an event and pay our caddy and do all these things?
That's been the issue on the PGA Tour forever.
LeBron doesn't pay for airfare so he can go on a road trip to Cleveland.
Okay, let me throw this in.
Why are we?
The LPGA has the same thing, okay? I mean, you miss the cut, you don't make any money. But this tournament, because of the benevolence of Cook and Steve Ferguson and the French Lick Resort and all the people here, Brendan, what are y'all doing for these girls this week, ladies?
We're giving them, and we have in the past, and we will continue as long as they come to French Lick, we'll give them a stipend for their rooms and stuff like that.
At least you're not going
broke.
I
don't want to call it an appearance fee, but you're not going to get rich off it, but we're going to cover your ass when you come here.
And for people that want to say, well, that's not the way Hogan did it. Okay, well,
I don't care how Hogan did it.
Doesn't the world evolve?
If you're wearing the Adidas stripes or the TaylorMade hat or whatever, your sponsors pick you up.
Yes.
You know, you make money on the backside.
Yeah.
You know.
You hope to.
Yeah.
I mean, if because a lot of those deals are about
Performance.
Yes, so and drop you like that.
Well, you have 150 guys, you know, that are scrapping for their cards every year.
Yep.
You know, either you got it or you don't. It's a set number. And if you want to have another tour where it comes in, you know, more power to them. I mean, my job is to spread the word on golf. Your job is to spread the word on golf. The more people that play golf, more eyeballs watching golf, the better it is for golf. Who gives a shit about where the money's coming from? Yeah. I don't. Yeah. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, again, I just think I find it hypocritical. Go ahead, Fred.
No, it's for me, especially. I've done this for a long time.
How long?
How old are you? How old are you?
You were the first guy on CNN, weren't you?
Yes.
Yes.
TV sports since 1980.
When they were chiseling the scores in rock.
Literally.
The scores would be.
The Lord God Jehovah has given us these 15.
Whoops.
10 commandments.
Really was. No, three words. Conflict of interest. We've had people all the time. I mean, we analyze. We have things in our contract. We can't have a conflict of interest. So when I hear the tour be holier than thou, that was the first thing that sent off a red flag for me. I'm like, this just smells so funny that these guys have been so polarized, yet they're, they're Valhalla. They're the thing everybody aspires to, but they've reacted in such a polarized, negative way.
Yeah.
I'm like, this. First of all, why are they doing this? It doesn't make any sense. And then the second issue was, well, can they say they're lily white? Because be careful where you start pointing.
Right.
Because if you point in enough directions, it's going to come back to you. And there are all sorts of conflicts of interest with the PGA Tour. And you touched on some of these. And that, to me, is the one, because people are like, take offense sometimes that I'm much more neutral about this topic, much more balanced, that the LIV Tour does have assets, does have attractions. It's not as awful, you know, as a lot of people want to say. It's far from that. Well, this is much more shades of gray. And I've got purists who just tear me limb from limb. Like, slow down. I mean, I understand your argument. I do. And I'm not saying what your argument is trying to make is necessarily wrong. It's not my point. I'm not trying to say the people of 9/11 don't have a right to be very upset. They do. None of those are my points. My point is, before you do this, what about the guys who have started pointing the fingers, that started this entire conversation about vilifying the LIV Tour? Conflict of interest. There's lots of them. And for them to have their hand in what they're criticizing, for me, it just smells.
Yeah. It's been very odd to me. And they, by the way, just came out, both tours, with their projections for next year.
Yes.
Right? As far as how many tournaments, what kind of money. Well, suddenly, and again, maybe I'm wrong, but at some point, some guys down the road, the young guys, might be thanking Phil Mickelson and some of these others for saying, you know what, before all that happened, we were playing for $8 million purses, right, at every tournament.
Yeah.
$8, $9 million if you go to the Wyndham Championship, whatever it might be. Suddenly, if it's $15, $20, $30 million down the road, where did that money come from? And the tour has come out and said, next year, 44 events, almost $500 million in prize money. They've upped the prize
money. Does it come in increased sponsorship cost, or does it come at the cost of the charities? Where did that money come from?
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to tell you that.
We'll flip it back into our lap. So as a facility, as a golf course, to host a championship, to host an event, you're talking, you know, between $8 and $12 million as a facility. So what's my ROI?
Yeah.
On that, is it advertising? Hey, they played the XYZ Championship at French Lick.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, is it worth that much?
Yeah.
Where the LIV Tour is paying Pumpkin Ridge, they're paying Rich Harvest Farms, they're paying Trump and his organization.
Durrell. Yeah.
To go to Bedminster, to go to Durrell. I mean,
different
from
game.
A facility.
You pay money or you get paid.
Well,
seems like it's. And by the way, Fred, I equate a lot of this, what's happening with the LIV Tour, and I said on the show, to when Fox got in the business 30 years ago in the 90s and wanted to do news, wanted to become an entity, ABC, CBS, and now Fox wanted to be part of it. They wanted to get in the NFL. They thought that's a big entree into what we want to do. They paid stupid rights fees,
and
everybody's sitting there going, well, they can't afford to do that. You'll never get that back.
Right.
They didn't care. They're like, we got to get our foot in the door.
What was the number that Fox paid for the USGA, for the US Open? Remember this one?
Well, they gave it back up.
They had to, but it was $1 billion.
Yeah.
$1 billion.
So you remember Curt Flood?
To try to get in.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Reserve clause in baseball. It was basically
free agency.
Licensed slavery.
Yeah.
And Curt Flood challenged it and broke the reserve clause. But he was vilified for it at the time.
Right.
And more or less blackballed after that. He did not benefit. But every guy after him, from Reggie Jackson to
Barry Bonds to whoever,
up till today, all owe him thanks. And I think,
otherwise you were bound to your team for your entire career.
The only difference with Phil Mickelson is he did benefit immediately in cash.
Yeah.
But he will be that same person.
Sure.
He has changed golf forever by what he's single because he had the juice, he had the name, he had the victories. Yeah. And he apparently needed and wanted the money.
He had the debt. Yeah.
But also,
well, we
if
don't
you
know
read
that,
some
but
of the excerpts from his biography, this latest one that came out, which was unauthorized, I think, he challenges that business model. There are a lot of things that Mickelson also
media rights is
which
huge,
aren't all that great. But he challenged the business model of he was the architect for LIV. He actually wrote a lot of the way
plan.
This tour is being run to answer the criticisms of the PGA Tour. And guess what? He was right. There's a lot of stuff. The PGA Tour, because it was a monopoly, until this, it was single. I mean, to that point, now they're in trouble. And guess what? Good for them.
No, yeah. I got a question for you. So 3 weeks ago, a month ago, when this thing launched out, you had 46 people committed to playing on the LIV Tour. Now you add players. You look at a kid like from Michigan State, James Pyatt, who won the U.S. Amateur, played here in the Big Ten
played
Championships,
here, yeah.
left, got $6 million to play, and as a 23-year-old, someone goes, hell, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, he's set for, if he, you know, he could realistically live on that money for a very long time.
Sure.
Now what? Now you have Bubba Watson jumping on board. You have Henrik Stenson. And all of a sudden, you're 46 guys. Wait a second.
They're back. They're backing guys off. They're taking the
right.
Least.
But if on the PGA Tour and they said, well, if you put your toes in that water, you can't come swim in our pool.
Yeah, I wonder. Is that like forever? What if you drop
but
off? Is
him
that question?
Him as an amateur, he never was a PGA Tour member. Is he allowed to come back now? Is he a prodigal
knows?
Son?
Well, that
and
knows.
He, yeah. Is he an orphan or a prodigal son? Because once you leave and come back, you can't come back.
The bigger issue to me is the Justice Department is now investigating the PGA Tour for monopolistic practices.
Right.
This happened once before, 20, 30 years ago, and the tour lost. But through lobbying efforts and politicians who helped them, they were never broken up. Here we are now. And this time, it's not going to be so pretty.
Yeah.
They're going to get charged with monopolistic practices, and they're going to go down. And that will open up the Pandora's box. That's why I said Mickelson is the Curt Flood. He has changed golf. Now, I've heard people absolutely polarized about how awful this is.
Yeah.
They're ruining golf. And I'm like, can you really say that? I'm not so sure.
No, it's good for us as a facility. It's like it's got eyeballs on it.
So. I'm always about strategic planning. Where do you want to be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years?
That's what we do here. Yeah,
that's what most successful companies do. So the tour never did that. If they did, they were selfish. They were.
Look at the FedEx Cup.
I have no dog in the fight. I'm an objective journalist. I'm not on their payroll. I'm not on Golf Channel, which is in bed with the PGA Tour. I don't have to toe that line. It's painfully obvious. They are a monopoly. They're a charity. They're a not-for-profit.
Well, so is the NFL.
So is the
NFL.
I know.
Well, the NFL,
how did
I think,
happen?
Ended. Their antitrust, they finally
NFL's no longer
dropped
for
profit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 3 or 4 years ago. After 70 years of being a nonprofit.
But let me say this also, because we are PGA Tour Media, Tim and I are official PGA Tour Media, that the opinions and everything that we're expressing here are not those of Golf Talk America. There is this conversational opinions that we're expressing.
Yeah.
So we don't want to do anything to make Live mad or PGA Tour mad or anybody, because we value our PGA Tour relationship, but we're having conversation.
Groveling.
This is an honest
conversation.
Situation. I'm like,
and it's going on in everybody's every country club, every resort, everywhere. I can't walk into a club without people that know what we do for a living coming up to me and saying, Frank, tell me about this Live Tour stuff. What's going on?
Well, here's the hard part for me, the middle. I'm all about the middle. You may react this way, being very polarized one way. You may react this way. And I get why. But I've always been, whether it's financial or anything, I've always asked, what about the middle? Don't give me the best appraisal on my house or the worst. Give me something that 7 times out of 10 might work. And so that I look at most of things in life like that. Like I do this, and I'm like, all of this has smelled really funny. I don't really believe it's going to ruin golf. I think it's going to be better for golfers at the end of the day. Will it be better for the PGA Tour? Frankly, I think competition helps everyone.
Yeah.
Years ago,
there's room for all of it,
Kentucky
Fred.
Kentucky
really
football
is.
were programs that were laughed at, unfortunately. And Howard Schnellenberger came in at Louisville football and was able to talk to C.M. Newton, the then athletic director at Kentucky, and they finally agreed to start playing football against each other.
Yeah.
Now, what did that do? It created competition. Now, at first, it wasn't pretty, and both programs have suffered a lot along the way. But what eventually happened? Kentucky football now arguably is at its best, its zenith, in the history of over 100 years of playing football. They've been to 7 straight bowls. They've won 4 straight. They have had 10-win seasons in the last 4 seasons. Louisville won a Sugar Bowl, won an Orange Bowl, almost played for the national championship.
There's one reason
why, competition, because their arch rival started raising the game.
Yeah.
The PGA Tour will be better for this.
I mean, if you're Mercedes and somebody wants to start a luxury car company, you don't say, how dare you, go, and you don't threat. You just say, okay, more competition.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck. We'll see how
we'll
you do.
Beat
we're going to do the best
well,
we can
Well, the PGA
do.
Tour, in my opinion, is protecting their major tournament sponsors. I think that was their initial fear.
Well, it cracks me up. They're like, we're all about competition. No, you're not.
Yeah. You're trying to restrict. Yeah. You're trying to restrict.
Well,
as
this
much
is
as you can. Bad.
This conversation could go on, and we will continue it at some point this week. But I want to go back to where we are, what we're doing here, and what tournament benefits, which is Riley's Hospital for Children, is the beneficiary of this fantastic event. Brendan, you guys have raised a ton of money for Riley's and the Riley's kids. And Old National Bank, who's been a
Old National's great.
They're
great.
We ran into all their people last night.
Oh, they're fun. Yeah, Riley's Hospital for Children, you know, 92 counties in the state of Indiana, and each kid, I mean, there's 350,000 kids that cross. Think about that.
That's 350,000
kids a year cross over the threshold at Riley's facilities in the state of Indiana, and we've had the opportunity to watch, really, these kids grow as from kids to young adults, and now, you know, BJ and Brandon are in college.
Yeah. And as golf gets better, and back to the previous conversation, as more competition, more money's doled out, more charities will benefit from all that.
Yeah, if you look at Riley's and you know, it's gut check time when these kids tell their stories and you hear the parents.
Oh,
and then, you know, every once in a while you hear about a kid that doesn't make it. And it's
tough.
Breaks your heart. So.
Yeah. Well, especially when we get to know them over the years being here. And then where is that? Oh, they passed away. And we're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, it's gut-wrenching. It's not good.
I mean, but you get, you know.
But thanks to Epson, the Epson Tour, the French Lick Resort, Cook Group, Brendan, you and everybody, Dave Harner, the entire staff here at the French Lick Resort.
Joe's great. His team's fabulous.
Everybody at French Lick's great. They're all very friendly and gave me extra coffee this morning in my room. Really, really nice for me.
Wow.
They are.
Well,
Dick,
hey.
Every little bit helps.
Wow. It's Starbucks. Hey, I got it free. You guys paid for it. Oh, what's wrong with you?
We're trying to support French Lick. That's what we're doing.
Jesus, God, Frank. Don't take that chair, will you?
Yeah, really. I like this chair. I like this table,
but
too.
He likes the table, exactly.
Anyway.
Well, hey, we got to go play golf. Yeah, a special shout-out to Tim Matthews. Congratulations.
For?
I don't know. Just feel like saying hi.
You know something he doesn't.
Well, I don't know.
For being alive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, barely.
Yeah. Brendan thinks I got something going.
You're
going
to give him his own cart, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Because we're playing in a fivesome.
Whatever it takes.
Like, wow, I got my own room. I got my own cart. I got, hey, my own table.
As soon as I get free coffee, I'll be.
And we're going to earmark
there.
That headset, too. Yeah. Put a dot on it. We know it's Tim's.
Exactly. I tell you, it's going to be a fun week. And, and once again, you know, if anybody still listens to the show out there, this weekend, flip on to either golfchannel.com, lpga.com. 12 to 3 will be the live feed, but you can see it after that. And they're, you know, if it goes overtime, I spoke to Brian Carroll today from the LPGA, and he said they'll keep it on. So, yeah, it's great. And we got some really fun people and some talented players out here. And this is the future. You talk about the future of golf. This is the future.
This is the future
of the LPGA.
Yeah. LPGA Tour.
Patty Tan of Etiquette. I mean, her first victory was at the Ross Course a couple of years back. And next thing you know, she's popping down majors, man.
excuse me. And these ladies can play.
She's open the windows.
Can play golf. So you'll really enjoy it. All right, play the music.
1-800.
We're out of here.
I'm sick.
For Frank Bassett, Fred Cogill, and Brendan Sweeney. Hey, thanks, everybody, for listening to us. Thanks also to Club Corp, also known as Invited.
Invited.
Changing their name. We appreciate
really?
Check them out at clubcorp.com.
Very
and you can
cool.
find out the very latest, including their name change, but also a club around you anywhere in the country. Over 300 courses and clubs all around the country. Again, for Brendan, Fred, and Frank, the great people here at French Lick, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.